Good morning, church. Let's stand and worship together as Very. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. You took, you take our sins away, oh God. You gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. Sing it out! You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did. You're alive. You rule, you reign. You said you're coming back again. I know that you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. No one, no name can rise above you, Lord. One hope, one light, you shine forevermore. Your kingdom in heaven and on earth. Your children stand to sing of your great word. You live. Worship as we have those kiddos come on up here.
Hello.
Ooh. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Garrett Pritchard. I am one of the youth here, and I'm just going to tell you the announcements this morning. On Wednesday night, the Faith Family Dinner, we will have chicken spaghetti, green beans, garden salad, rolls, and butter and honey. Oh, that sounds so good right now. Not that same Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, we will have our Ash Wednesday services on February 14th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. So all you romantic lovebirds, make your dinner reservations for about 8 o'clock. And come to the Ash Wednesday service. On Friday, February 9th, we have our All About Love Asbury Chancel Choir, and it will be in here starting at 6:30. There will be a baked potato bar, and there will be show tunes, love songs, and it's just going to be a fun time. Also, starting Tuesday, February 6th, we will have Terrific Tuesday, which starts at noon in the warehouse. You can come listen to 50s, 60s, 70s music. There will be some food, chicken spaghetti, salad, garlic bread, chocolate dessert. And it's only $7, so we'd love it for you to come out. And if you would, everyone, please get up and pass the peace of Christ.
All right, and as the adults are finding their seats again, we can have the kiddos come on up here for some children's moments with Miss Laura.
Do I have any friends? Come on, friends. Come on, Juliet. Come on, Clara. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, good morning.
Morning.
How are we this morning? Are we good? Okay, well, y'all are kind of quiet this morning. I have a question for you, because I always have questions. And my question this morning is there something that you have not, that you've tried to do that you couldn't do? Like, ride a bike? Like, maybe you have too much homework? Like, you think that you're not able to do what you can do? What happens? Do you kind of get real nervous? No? Do you get mad when you can't do it? I do. I know that's surprising. But you know what? When we do stuff, and when we overcome what we can do, you know what word that is? That's called an overcomer. That means that we have overcome doing what we thought we couldn't do. And we've gone past that. And for the adults out there, and for y'all, if you've never heard the song Overcomer by Mandisa, it is a wonderful song. And I think about that all the time. Because there's days when I think I can't do it all. And that there's days when I can. But I know that I can do it all because I have who by my side? I have Jesus with me. And he is standing right there helping me overcome everything that I need to do day by day by day. So I want you to think about that. As you're struggling in school, or you're having a bad day, or you can't get that riding that bicycle just right, think about being an overcomer. And that overcomer is because Jesus is right by your side. Every day, 24/7, 365 days a year. Because he loves you, and you are very special to him. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rest you gave us last night. And we thank you for being with us all the time and helping us overcome whatever we may need to do. Thank you for being with us and for loving us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Won't you stand and join us in worship again, Asbury?
There is power, power here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. There is power, power here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. Oh, 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 hear the sound from heaven. Oh, 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 a mighty rushing wind. Oh, 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 we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. Of their father, seeing the signs and the wonders, the kingdom of God. Whoa, hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. I cannot contain it, this fire inside. I cannot contain it, so let it shine. I cannot contain it, this light of mine. It's burning in my soul. Hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul.
Amen. Yes, amen.
That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The one who wore our now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
Sing it out, your name.
Your name, your name, all praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me.
Amen.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Before I pray, I'd like to remind everyone to look into the back of their bulletin for requested prayers. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you are a loving God. Even when death entered into the garden through one man, you provided a way through which all our sins could be created, erased. Through one man, sin entered this world, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave us a way to our sins forever. It is hard for us to understand a love which is so great, and yet a love which we do not deserve. Help us to remember that you are a God of grace, the grace that no man can ever repay or live up to. Lord, we ask that you cause a stirring in our hearts this morning, a stirring that can only be satisfied when we seek after you, through your word and your Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit as our comforter and the one who keeps us connected to Christ. Help us to find your heart as we chase after you with others. God, watch over our Asbury family, for those who are serving around the world, and those who may be on the next street over. Remind us to reach out to our family members to let them know that they are missed, and that we want for nothing less to have all of our family members here worshiping you as one body every Sunday. We thank you for the gift of your Son, who gave up his riches and glory to come here to earth and walk among us as a man who experienced joy and sorrow, sickness and pain. Pain even to death on a cross for the redemption of your people, for the forgiveness of sins. Father, once again, we thank you for being a loving God. We earnestly pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
God to bless our morning offering. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the blessings you bestow on us every day, and for the treasures you have stored for us in heaven. The things of this earth are temporary, but your kingdom knows no end. We thank you for the honor of returning a portion of that which you blessed us, and you use it to spread your kingdom all around. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Why do we build the wall, my children, my children? Why do we build the wall? Why do we build the wall? We build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. Does the wall keep us free, my children, my children? How does the wall keep us free? How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy, and we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. Who do we call the enemy? My children, my children. Who do we call the enemy? Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy, and we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. Because we have a Vietnam, my children, my children, because they want what we have got. Because we have Vietnam, because they want what we have got. The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. What do we have that they should want? My children, my children, what do we have that they should want? What do we have that they should want? We have a wall to work upon. We have work and they have none, and our work is never done. My children, my children, and the war is never won. The enemy is poverty, and the war keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. We build the wall to keep us free.
Let us pray. Father, you tell us in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ. We believe what you tell us. May it be so this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What a dynamite tune. What a powerful song. That song wasn't written for Donald Trump. And how many of you are sitting there saying, well, there goes Baker again? He's getting off into politics, and we can't have that. You can't mix politics and church. Well, let me tell you, if you read the Bible, there's quite a little bit of politics and an awful lot of church, or at least religion in there. But Kara, wonderful, great job. And Nick Devlin on guitar, great, great work. Really, really good. Why do we build walls? This is kind of about walls. Why do we build a wall? Let's go to read a little bit about Joshua. This is a familiar passage to you. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into town. Interesting passage about walls. Walls used to keep us free, and there are lots of walls in the Old Testament. There are not so many in the New Testament. There's one in Revelation, but it's so big it really doesn't keep anybody out. It's a huge, glorious wall. Brother Tom knows all about that, and it's so big. But I like this passage. Can you imagine the rabbi marching band? Seven horns, seven trumpets marching around. The wall come a-tumbling down. And I wonder, it's Old Testament stuff. You know, how complicated had it to be? You got to have ram's horns. You got to have seven. You got to march this many times. What if one of them would have sprained an ankle? Let's say we'd only had six on the last trip around Jericho. Would the wall have come tumbling down? I don't know. It's Old Testament stuff. There are lots of rules in the Old Testament. I think the wall would have come tumbling down. And I'm really not criticizing the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, which, as I say, was kind of complicated. But that was the way it was, and that was God's way. And when I think about walls now, let's look at some walls, Randy. Let's look at I think the next slide is actually a Bible verse. We're going to come back to Romans. Let's go to the next one. That's God's own wall. Mother Nature builds a few. That's a rock. You could build your life on a rock. Let's go to the next one. There you have the trumpeters blowing the horns and the walls come a-tumbling down. But here's some walls that we build. Why do we build the wall, my children? Why do we build a wall? We build a wall to keep us free. We build a wall. Do those walls keep us free? Did they really? Or are they barriers to our neighbors? Are they barriers to our views? Are they barriers to our thoughts? There's an old wall. That's an old New England wall, an old stone wall. So walls are nothing new, even in our country. There's a neat poem about that wall, or about walls just like that one, that Robert Frost wrote. Do y'all know the poem Mending Walls? This is an excerpt, and I'm going to bring this together. I know y'all are confused right now, but this comes together. Just play along a little bit. There where it is, we do not need a wall. He is all pine, and I am an apple orchard. The apple trees will never get across and eat the cones under his pines. I told him. He only says, good fences make good neighbors. That's probably true. Maybe. But good fences also keep neighbors apart. I want to talk to you about the walls we build in our lives with respect to our faith. Do you build walls with respect to your faith? I do. I've got my faith in a little Ziploc bag. It's not a wall, but it might as well be. And I open it up on Sunday morning, and I come up here, and I show everybody my faith. And I love to come up here. This is my church home. It means a great deal to me. And my family, too. My whole family's here. Both of my grandkids are here. Think about it. There's a little surprise in all of that, Sarah. And I'm really excited. But I do. I put my faith in a little bag. And I'll tell you a story that happened to me this week. I was going down the interstate with my wife, and I needed to exit. And there was a guy pretty far back, and I hit my blinker, and I sped up. And he saw that I wanted to exit and get in front of him. So what did he do? He sped up. And I thanked him so much for that. I told him he was number one. Number one. That's PG, kids. We build those walls to keep us free. I was in my little walled car. I could be as free as I wanted to be. And I did something I probably shouldn't have done. And we do that in our homes. When we pull up to the house, we hit that button, the wall comes up, The car goes in. Before we turn off the ignition, the wall comes down. And that's our space. That's where we live. We build that wall to keep us free. Does it keep us free? Not really. Does it keep us free? But it keeps us comfortable. We don't have to know other people. We don't have to know our neighbors. We pull up to a stoplight. I do it every time. I see somebody with a sign, and I double check and be sure that automatic door lock is working. Sometimes I'll even hit it. Do you do that? You do. We build that wall to keep us free from things we don't want to deal with. And we do that with our lives every day. We know Christ is in our lives, and we want him to be in our lives, and we want him to be there when we need him, but we don't want him to be there all the time. And that's nothing new about the New Testament. That happened in the Old Testament. What happened when Adam and Eve said, you know, just a nibble of that apple couldn't hurt anything. Just a bite, just a little taste is all I want. And I know we're not supposed to do that, and it's not part of the thing that God wants us to do. And they took a bite. And what did they do? They hid. They didn't build a wall, but if they could have, they would have. And they would have hid behind that wall because they knew that was something that they wanted for themselves. And they knew that God was in the garden, but they didn't want him to be part of that. They didn't want to give their life to him completely. They would rather do it their way. And I do that. I've been doing it all my life. I want to do things my way. I want to feel that way again. I want to be free. I want another one. Hit me again. I want to do things my way. I want to build a wall. And when I want to be me, I want my bad habits, and I want my frustrations, and I want my selfishness. I build that wall, and I hope God's on the other side and leaves me alone, because that makes me feel free. It makes me feel good. They're walls of addiction. They're walls of greed. They're walls in business where we say, well, that's kind of my life, and my Sunday life, my church life is on the other side of that little wall. You know, I'll get back to it. Nobody's going to get hurt. What difference does it make if I do something wrong? We build that wall to keep us free. Adam and Eve did that. And that's kind of what I like about the New Testament. I do that too much. But then I can be forgiven, you know. That's part of the deal. And y'all know I'm no trained preacher, so you don't have to worry that anything I say really is based on anything other than kind of what I think and what I know after. And I know y'all probably thought it was you Sunday when Garrett got up here and then I step up here. You probably think, golly, got a kid up here preaching today. Well, I'm an infant when it comes to preaching. But the very walls we build that we think are going to keep us free, those walls of addiction, those walls of selfish pleasure, those things that we want to do for ourselves that are off the reservation. We think those things keep us free, and that wall gets bigger, and it encloses us. And the wall that we build to keep us free, to keep us separate from God, ends up confining us, ends up imprisoning us. And instead of keeping us free, we live dangerously and selfishly and destructively and impulsively and ultimately miserably because we've separated ourselves from God. Now let me go back to that, and I'm going to get you all out of here at least in time for the second half of the Super Bowl, so don't worry. But right now I want to read that excerpt out of Romans, Randy, if you would please. Because this is really, you know, y'all are thinking, well, Baker's really on a downer today, but this is the good news, or mostly good news. It's good news, but there's more to it than this is. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love.
No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ our Lord. The power of those words. I mean, if you can only read, I've heard theologians say, if you could only read one book, start with Romans. Nothing can separate us from the power of God. Doesn't that sound, from the love of God, doesn't that sound so simple? It does sound simple. But are simple things always easy? This is the example I came up with. Have you ever been to a tailgate party? They said, we're going to play a little bag-o. And gosh, Philip is good at this, my son-in-law. And they say, what are the rules? Well, it's simple. You just take that bean bag and throw it in the hole. That's simple. They go, well, there's nothing to that. Well, then try it. It's simple, but it's not easy. Simple doesn't always mean easy. Simple words, two simple words. I do. That's simple, but that's not easy. I love you. Three simple words. That's simple, but that's not easy. And it can be awkward. It can be so awkward. Remember in Star Wars where Han Solo's getting in that, frozen in the kryptonite or whatever it was? It wasn't kryptonite, some kind of something or other. And he looks at Leia. Leia says, I love you. And he says, what does he say? Anybody remember? I know. That's awkward. I love you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So what's happening here? God says nothing can separate you from my love. But that's a one-way street, people. It says nothing can separate you from God's love. God's love. God loves you. Who made you? God made you. You didn't show up. You weren't mail ordered and showed up in a box from Amazon. God created you. And God tells us in Romans, I love you. And nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. But is there more to it than that? Isn't there more to it than just that? God loves me. I know God loves me. But I build all these walls. And he still loves me. He loves me unconditionally. He doesn't love everything I do. And I wonder how he feels when I build that wall. When I was a kid, when I did things that I shouldn't have done. And when I'm an adult and I do things like I did this week that I shouldn't have done. I build that wall. But does God love me? Absolutely, he loves me. We know he loves me. And that's so simple. And what does he ask us to do in return? What does he give us the power to do? He gives us the power to love him or not to love him. I have that power. I have it within myself, and so do you, to decide what do I do with this grace, this marvelous, forgiving God who loves me unconditionally and promises to love me forever, no matter what. Nothing can separate his love from me. What do I do with that love? Do I look at him and go, thanks, God? What do I do? Do I feel that Holy Spirit in me? Do I see the face of Christ in my mind's eye and think to myself, I'm so glad that's there. I'm happy that's there when I need it. Or do I do what I should do right now? And what I'm asking each of you to do is to say, God, I love you. I love you back. It won't be easy. It doesn't mean my life's going to be simple. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. It doesn't mean my family doesn't get sick or that I don't get fired or that I don't have temptation and that I don't succumb to it. It just means that I'm willing to say, God, yes. Simply yes. You love me. You've told me that you do. Christ has made it so simple. I don't have to blow seven trumpets and march seven times around this building and the wall come tumbling down. What do I have to do? I have to love God and love my neighbor as myself. Jesus told us that. They made it simple. When the new covenant came along, it may not have been the single most important moment in history, but it was at least at the top three. Creation, Jenny and I talked about this. Creation has to be the most important moment. The second most important moment in history was the resurrection of Christ when he rose from the dead. But the third most important moment is what we're going to experience in a minute when he broke the bread and said, this is the new covenant. All that other stuff is gone. Love your neighbor as yourself and love God. It sounds kind of simple. It's like the Wizard of Oz. I'm on this movie kick, kids. When Dorothy clicks her heels and says, what does she say? There's no place like home. God is calling us home. God is calling us home. It's that simple. It's simply that simple. It's not easy. It's not easy to say, yes, God, count me in. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try not to fail. It's not that simple or easy. I think it's simple. I think we know what to do, but we don't do it. We give in to those things that pull us in the wrong direction. Randy, let me have the next slide that's way down the list. That's a wall. That's a wall that doesn't keep us free. How about the next one? Mr. Gorbachev. Y'all want to hear Ronald Reagan? Well, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Does the wall between North Korea and South Korea keep them free? No, it really doesn't. Do the walls we build between ourselves and God keep us free? No, they don't. Is God's love eternal? Is God's love there for us if we ask for it? Yes, it is indeed. That's what Romans tells us. And where is Christ in all of this? Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Trinity, are there for us. There's a wall. We build that wall between us and Christ. We build it every day. I do. I separate myself. I don't do the things I should do when I should do them. And I wonder why sometimes. But there's a wall, and it can be broken down. It can come a tumbling down. Go back to the next one, and we'll end on this. You see the interesting thing? There's a wall, and Jesus stands at that door, and he knocks. He knocks. You can hear him knock. There's no knob on that door. There's no knob on that door. He can knock, and he knocks every day. He's silently asking and quietly knocking. And there he stands behind the wall that we built, has a door in it. And he really can't open that wall. He can give you all the love that's described in Romans. And what does he simply ask you to do? You have to open the door. There's no knob on the outside. You simply have to say, God, come into my life. Be a part of my life. Help me every day. Help me every day be the person I can be. Step into my life. I'm going to give my life to you, and you're going to give it back, and it'll be a changed life. And we're going to live this life together, and we're going to tear down those walls, and we're going to be free. And it won't be easy, and it won't always be what people say it might be. It's not all of milk and honey. But there's somebody there who will get you through it if you'll simply open the door. And so my prayer for you this morning, and for my family and for myself, is that we hear the knock, we go to the door, and we gently open it and let Christ in. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, there's so many walls that we've built in our lives. They're walls of hatred and addiction and selfishness and covetousness, even lust, and things that we do that we shouldn't do. We build those walls thinking they keep us free, and yet they imprison us every day. We know you stand at that wall, and there's a door, and you knock. Give us the courage to know that with you we can do all things. And with you, if we let you in, you will change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we have the privilege to take communion, which is a marvelous thing. As I said, I think it's the third most important moment in human history. If you think about all of human history, when God said, Jesus said, he took this bread and he broke it, knowing he was going to the cross. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is and this is my blood spilled for you, the blood of the new covenant, which wasn't complicated. Wasn't complicated. He made it so we could all understand it. These elements have been consecrated by a real preacher. That's not me. But we have a chance now to take Christ in through this sacrament. This table is open to all. It's not the United Methodist table. It's certainly not Asbury's table. It's God's table. And it's open to everyone. It's open to those who are simply seeking God. It's open to those who found God. It's open to those who feel unworthy, like I do. And it's open to everyone. And so I'm going to ask the communion assistants to come up, please. Sean, you're going to be with me. But on the day of in the upper room, when Jesus was at the Last Supper, right before he was crucified, he took this bread and he broke it. And he said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Repeat with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God in power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up, he took the bread, gave thanks to it, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. as you speak. 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets born. If the stars were made to worship so light, I can see your heart and everything you've made. Every burning star is signal fire of grace. Your creation sings your praises so alive. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty your voice. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every paint the sky, the canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you so alive, so alive, so alive. So alive. If the mountains bow in reverence, so alive. If the oceans roar your greatness, so alive. For if everything exists to lift you high, so alive. If the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry out in silence, so alive. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. All of my failure and pride, on a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. When you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I can see your heart a million different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them so alive, like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
If you're visiting with us today, keep in mind that I won't be here next week and we'll have a pro do this. But we invite you to join our church if you're visiting, or if you're here for after many visits and wish to join, let us know afterward and we'll make arrangements for that. I'm not qualified to do that. Garrett didn't either, but you're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. Let me offer this benediction. Dear God, move in our lives. Move in our lives every day, not just on Sunday, but every day, every moment, every minute, every second. Move in our lives. Make us be the persons that we can be with your help and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. Thank y'all for being here.